Hey, welcome to the Mostly Skateboarding Podcast. I'm your host, Templeton Elliott, and I'm joined this week by Mike Munzenrider and Jason from Frozen and Carbonite to mark 10 years of Primitive. But first, Kaso, the Japanese skate show for a million yen, has been burning up our feeds for the past few weeks, and it was too fun not to talk about. Mike, do you think you could make it all the way through the swirl over the water?
I'm saying no way, truly. I'm bad enough at like riding in a straight line, let alone a curved, controlled line. And then even if I made it to the last part, that little grind onto the island, like a bar after all that would be a catastrophe, frankly. I'm not making it. Anybody else claiming that thing?
Well, first of all, it's good to be back. Great to be back on the broadcast.
It's great to have you back, Jason.
Yeah, I think, you know, if I set up a board with some of those new loose venture trucks, I could probably make it through to the bar and to the end of the spiral.
I feel like I could do it too in a few tries. I think I would definitely get wet, but I think I could make it. And I think the bar is just if you're going fast enough and you're light enough on your feet, you just kind of like never really commit to it. You just kind of skim it and you'd be good.
I'd get those going. Yeah, you're talking about loose ventures. I'm thinking of those gull wings with the dip in the hand. Yeah. That's what I need. Those old vert guy ones. Plastic base plate.
I like the idea of you setting up a specific swirl board.
Yeah, I'm into this. Yeah. What is it about Kaso that appeals to you, Templeton? Because you turned me on to it, I think, in one of your IG stories, or you shared it in the group chat or something.
I just like the silliness of it. Like, it's serious. It requires serious skate skills, but it's also, it's skate skills that, you know, I'm claiming I could make it through the swirl. I could probably make it through all of the challenges. Like, I think it would be hard, but nothing was too crazy, and it looked like a lot of fun, I think is all it was, you know. Like, nobody was stressing. It was just looked like a good time. Jason, what did you think of it?
Well, first of all, shout out to the gentlemen and ladies that fabricated all these sets. Like, they did like a fucking amazing job. Like, I don't know how much it all cost, but that shit was crazy. But yeah, it was sick. I mean, it's funny, like, whatever subculture you're in, like, there's always, like, a subsect that's, like, for the real, like, hardcore people. Like, for wrestling fans, there's Japanese wrestling, and I guess for game show fans, there's Japanese game shows. But, yeah, one thing that stood out was they tried to incorporate, like, the style of skating that Japanese skaters are known for and are good at into the sets. Like, all, like, you had to, like, quick ollie up, like, six sets or whatever. So I didn't think it was possible. Until
it
like
was 10. I counted it.
Yeah. I didn't think, I was like, there's no way they get enough speed to do that. But like, yeah, they just kind of like did it. Like, you know, boom, 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 boom. Then they had like on the downhill one that you had to like ollie up onto the thing and ollie the little gap. That was crazy. I probably wouldn't be able to do that. That was kind of hairy. But yeah, I mean, they seemed to be really tapped in to the skate culture, which was crazy.
So, Mike, you said you couldn't make it through the swirl. Do you think you could make it through the other stages, the downhill and the Tokyo multi-tiered obstacle course?
Downhill, potentially. But like, one of the things that struck me was just like crazy endurance, you know? Like, after, I mean, maybe I'm just getting old, but, you know, I'm good for five or six tricks. But after that, like, hopping up something and then, yeah. It was rightfully challenging looking. No, I respect the skills. Respect the game.
Like, for sure. I wonder how many tries they had to do until like someone got it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, were they out there skating for like 5 hours or 6 hours or some shit like that? Or maybe they just got it right off the bat. I don't know.
I think the swirl took a few tries, and I know that I watched a behind the scenes video, or maybe it was in the main one, but they said that in the practice, the test skaters couldn't make it through the swirl. Which is pretty nuts, but it's cool that people did make it through the swirl.
See, I just get creeped out riding on skinny things. And then increasingly skinny? I don't know, man. I'm going to have like a bad dream about the swirl now.
The swirl can't hurt you, Mike.
Did anybody... Okay, this is such a random poll, but this reminds me. This got me thinking. There's an episode of Yogi Bear that involves like a skateboard skills challenge. And one of them was... They were like kind of tic-tac duck walking upstairs. I'm hoping like someone listening is like, oh, I've seen that, because apparently you guys have not. But
I haven't. But definitely, it's gonna be in the show notes if I can find it.
You mean the like the one from the 60s?
It must have been, you know, newer Yogi Bear episodes that right. for some reason right. I was a watching. Newer, but yes, the Jellystone Park mainstay.
It looks like the third episode of the 1988 version called Bored Silly. It's all about wow. Yogi Bear skating.
Wow. Okay. That washes. That sounds about right.
Yeah, we'll link it in the show notes, obviously.
So is this show new, like, or is there just one episode, or what's the deal with that? Anyone know?
As far as I can tell, it's a one-off, and maybe in the actual aired on TV, it's like three episodes, you know, one for each stage right. of the competition. But it was started by a Japanese YouTuber, so that's kind of where it comes from.
Yeah. Well, of course, the big question is, do you guys think this type of show would play in America or what?
I would like to think so. I don't know. I think there's a need for, I don't know, Street League. I mean, that shit's washed in my opinion. Yeah. Like, I don't know. There's too much uniformity. I like just the random challenges aspects. Like I was in pushing around a parking lot while my kid scootered the other day, and I was thinking of how like sick it'd be to set up some slalom cones and just, I don't know. I want to see, it'd be interesting to see what people can do and what they're good at. You know, like think of Bucinet's slaloming or Grant Taylor. I know like Templeton, you had those guys jotted down as potentials here. Like just more random challenges would be good.
I think that's a good point. It's like, let's see what these guys can do. Cause we know that they can do a lot of really gnarly skateboard tricks. But can they poly up 10 different stages and then go on to complete this obstacle course? Can they, you know, ride an increasingly skinny swirl over the water? I would love to see Grant Taylor and Dennis Bucinets do that.
You know what's sick that is underutilized in skating? Barrel jumping. You ever tried to jump?
What's barrel jumping? Like when you like ride up to a barrel and your board goes through the barrel?
No, it's like, you know, you jump from one board to another over barrels.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, that's cool. Now you're tapping into all like the old school, like 70s shit.
Yeah.
Which is like a good way to go.
We did. I can't remember if we actually called it a 70s contest, but when I worked at the Third Layer skate park, we did a hippie jump contest and then barrel jumping contest. And we had these like Coca-Cola kind of like, almost like oil drum sized barrels. And I think the guy who won it did like six or seven. And it was gnarly.
Yeah.
Like you haul ass and just jump. It's crazy.
Were dudes getting served?
Oh yeah. I mean, if you miss it, like, you know, if you miss, but you're trying to actually make it, like you're just landing straight legged on the right. ground. I remember one dude built, like he took like a 2x6, basically put trucks and wheels on it as like a longer, I guess not wider, but a longer landing pad. It was fun. And I mean, it was terrifying. I think I maybe topped out at like three barrels jumped, or maybe even just two. Because, yeah, you can't see the board that you're supposed right. to land on. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'll tell you what, it seems like something that would be right in the wheelhouse of Rob Dyrdek.
You know I could definitely see Dyrdek coming up with, or like, spearheading something like this in the Fantasy Factory or something.
Yeah, I mean, he had all that shit. Like, he had, like, the, you know, that one gigantic skateboard. Like, he has a definite track record with this kind of shit. But, yeah, I don't know if MTV would be the platform for that because they seem to be, like, just either showing ridiculousness 24 hours a day or Jersey Shore, which is awesome. It's an awesome show, but, you know what I mean? It's like, the fabric might not be the bang for buck they're looking for.
Right.
With all the fabrication and whatnot.
Then again, it's very like MTV Sports and Musical Festival and yeah. the look. Or like you know, original Extreme Games, 95.
Right. I was thinking instead of a TV show, a road show. You know, take this on the road. Get the hometown heroes versus the pros in these insane challenges of skateboard prowess and see how it shakes out. I think it'd be super sick.
This is the updated Boom Boom Huck Jam.
Yeah, exactly. And it'd be really sick if you could have like a themed, like a new challenge each city that's themed around the city, you know, like Richmond being a tobacco hub would have like some kind of like cigarette, maybe like a pack of cigarettes where like
who can
a ledge to flat bar or something.
Who can chain smoke the most cigs without throwing up?
Right.
I'm thinking like the Pete Eldridge challenge, like actively smoking a cig during a line.
No, yeah, no, that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it wouldn't have to be too crazy, but just kind of nod to the location. I always like to see something like that. Do you guys have any other ideas for ways to challenge skaters in a competitive way?
What, Templin, you put something in the notes about like the skate version of Tough Mudder, and then that got me thinking of a little something. Well, for those that don't know, Tough Mudder is this, I guess, obstacle race where it's like a half marathon, I think. Am I right, Templin? Like about a half marathon?
I don't know the distance, but sure.
Yeah, it's like 10 or 12 miles. Plus, they throw in all these like crazy, like Marine Corps training obstacles, like where you have to crawl through mud through one thing, or like climb up this high wooden thing, climb down, just like shit like that. So, skate version of Tough Mudder would be like you have to skate however miles, like 5, 10, whatever, through a city, and then you try to get tricks at like a spot or spots along the path, and whoever does it first wins. So, that's almost like the DC King of the City thing they did in New York a while back. Which was a really dope contest, by the way.
Yeah, that was sick. I feel like skateboarding's had a fair number of interesting contests. They just haven't stuck around that long. Maybe the current contest format is just too easy and everything else is hard.
For the skateboard Tough Mudder version, I think Max Murphy might be the perfect skater for that challenge. Because I don't know if I've ever told this short story on the podcast before. I was downtown Chicago with him. We're skating past a construction site, and there's like, I don't know, a piece of construction machinery. It's an active construction site. Piece of machinery is holding up a water main pipe, like waist high. Max like ducked in there and tried to front board it, and the construction workers almost like came to kill him for doing that. But you know, he got up there and kind of slipped out. But it was the most audacious, insane move I've ever seen street skating. I mean, it was like Tyshawn's. What did he do on the forklift?
Yeah, he did like a little front board tap.
Yeah, I mean, it was akin to that, but rode into an active construction site.
Max Murphy's that guy who's on Strangelove, am I right?
Strangelove, Milwaukee, yeah.
Yeah, that would be sick to have like an all-city kind of race. And speaking of all-city, All-City Showdown is a rad little contest they do in Seattle.
Is that still going on?
I don't know.
Was that Manic Skateboards adjacent?
I mean, Manic is definitely a Seattle brand. I don't know who was put. I think 35th North was kind of the epicenter of that.
Yeah,
I know our Seattle fans are screaming at their podcast.
Yes, our ignorance. We're now into the fully unscripted part of the discussion where we just spitball shit. One cool thing. This is years ago in the Twin Cities, but it was a 24-hour like skateboard film festival where, you know, everybody. If you know, you get a clip. You got to be wearing the shirt to prove that it was within the past 24 hours, and
right.
Some buddies made a video called No, comma, This Is Skateboarding. And my buddy Dan was basically three different characters in it, like the gangster skater, hippie skater, and the punk rock skater. And that was one of the most hilarious, like, you know, we were in a movie theater watching the submissions and his came on and we all died laughing because, you know, he's wearing like a tam and doing a nollie shove it down some stairs and then wearing a puffy coat with a fake home arrest or, you know, the monitor, ankle monitor.
Yeah.
I'll find that link for you. It'll be in the show notes. I'm doing a terrible job of expressing how funny it is.
It sounds sick and it sounds like a great way to kind of flip the script. Like everybody else is out there trying to get, you know, the gnarliest clips. And it's like these guys made a short film in the 24 hours.
Right.
I was looking around at like other interesting competitions, and one that I was reminded of is in snowboarding, they have this thing called Skolf, which is like a combination of skate and golf. And basically the way it works is you have someone lays out a challenge like, all right, like crooked grind nollie flip on the flat bar. And we're going to say that's like a par three. It should take you three tries or whatever. Hmm. And then everybody basically takes their shot like golf, and then you would do that all around town or wherever, and there's your golf game, keeping score the whole time.
Well, that's sick. That kind of reminds me of Slides e Grinds,
mm.
the Brazilian version of Battle at the Barracks, except instead of skate, it was like ledge skate.
Yeah, I always liked seeing ledge skate. I'm more a ledge skater than a flat skater.
Yeah, I think it was actually on like real Brazilian television. I don't know, but like it was sick. Like everyone knows.
Yeah, they had like some serious production value.
Yeah. It was in like a real like television studio and whatnot. It was the best, dude. It was like, because it was like the middle of COVID. There was like nothing going on. Every Wednesday night or whatever, like it was new slides and grinds. It was the shit.
I mean, skate is nearly a perfect game in a lot of different ways, you know, and has really endless opportunities to kind of, you know, riff on the basic idea.
Yeah, I feel like the cool thing about skate and about like Casso, and I think what we're kind of getting at with these challenges is it's not necessarily like the best skater, you know, like Nigel isn't necessarily going to be the one who's going to win it, because like flat ground is like a subset specialty
discipline all its own,
right? So there's just like that opportunity for an upset and for somebody unexpected to come and take the crown, which is what makes for a good competition, you know, like you just don't know what the outcome is going to be.
Here's the thing though, do y'all think, you know, your average pro is going to be down for this type of contest that's like kind of goofy, you know, not the usual contest scene, might, you know, look not the coolest, that kind
of
thing?
I mean, it's kind of crazy we haven't brought up the Dime Glory Challenge yet, but kind of it, you know? And, like,
they
do draw the top dudes.
Yeah, I think it's just all about the framing, you know? Like, who's putting it on? If the Barracks is putting it on, you're not going to get the right people. But if Thrasher puts it on, or Dime puts it on, or, you know, Palace puts it on, then everybody's going to want to be involved. So I think the messenger is really what's important.
Challenges. Yeah, what can you say? And hasn't been said, man. It's a fucking legendary. Also, speaking of Canada, the one thing I liked was the Bunt Jam, where they had like the 3-on-3 tournament, and then the skate thing with the actual barn that caught on fire.
Right,
that was some good production values right there.
Yeah, I love a wild obstacle. You know, something that it's again just like you just don't know how people are going to be able to address this obstacle, like the one barn with the. It was like the giant quarter pipe with the barn doors at the top. Like, how are people going to skate it? And it just makes for really interesting stuff. And then, like, the basketball goal quarter pipe.
Curran Cables becoming my favorite skater. Just trick after trick with a ball and a hoop and a skateboard, baby.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I'm really glad that we have these kind of things. Like, do other sports, like, I know there's, like, the slam dunk contest in basketball. Is there anything else, like, in sports that kind of gets to more fun, you know, like there's a combine, I guess. Is that a competition or is that more like a demo?
The NFL combine? Nah, that's like where they see how fast you can run like a 40-yard dash and stuff, like what your vertical is. It's pretty like data driven, like just to see like how, you know, all the draftees, you know, how they perform on this and that. But what there's the closest thing is like the celebrity game. An All-Star Weekend in the NBA. That's pretty fun sometimes.
Home Run Derby.
Home Run Derby, yeah, of course.
Actually, like, the three-point contest has surpassed the dunk contest in terms of, like, being reliably good.
Yeah, the three-point contest is great. The skills challenge is horrible. Like, you have to, like, do a bounce pass through, like, a orange barrel or something. Like, it's pretty weak.
It'd be sick if they switch it up and, like, all of a sudden the mascot comes out and, like, you know, tries to distract the player or something like that, or like shoots him with a tennis ball cannon or something like that.
Anything with mascots and like t-shirt cannons, tennis ball cannons, what have you, is a great. Mascots are the shit.
American Gladiators times skateboarding,
dude. It would be
tennis
so
ball
sick.
Cannon as you're trying to like skate a ledge.
Like, imagine it's like your opponents, you're like competing with all these people, your opponents get to man the tennis ball cannon while you're attempting this trick, and then when they go, you get to man the tennis ball cannon. It's, you know, could be great fun.
American Gladiators was a shit.
There's a documentary a documentary series on Netflix, really good, about all about it.
I'll get the local angle. Didn't Chad Knight end up on like the rebooted American Gladiators?
I think he did. What a career. Pro skater, like, American Gladiator, shoe designer.
And I think I'm pretty sure I ended up on his IG page, and he's making like spaced out art.
Sick.
Yeah.
What a real Renaissance man.
Ohio, if I recall. Switch backside flip the San Diego double set. One of the most insane. And it was perfect. It was really good, and it's like the least one of the most unexpected tricks I think you could peg him for. I believe it's in the Maple video, Seven Steps to Heaven.
Damn, that's a long time ago too. Like, that would be sick now if like Miles Silvis did it.
Yeah, but Chad Knight did it in like Airwalks.
Right, so crazy. What else can we say about Caso?
Be crazy if there was like a way to do slalom and then like it somehow transitions into a loop. that ooh, came like to that. Mind.
I was thinking about a contest where, I guess this would be an obstacle or a challenge where you roll up. And you know there's a gap, but you don't know how you're going to cross it. Is there going to be a flat bar? Is there going to be a ledge? Is there going to be a ramp? And then like at a certain point, like kind of like the point of no return, like
they pull the curtain back or reveal
what the obstacle is. And then you'd like immediately have to react and pop.
Whoa. So like split second reactions.
Right.
That's
a good idea.
That'd be very challenging.
Listen, all you production companies out there, Merv Griffin Productions or whatever, get at Templeton. He's got all the ideas for your skate game show.
For real.
I want to just see like the pivot grind fakie challenge where it's like a 3-foot quarter pipe. Maybe it starts out, I don't know, 8 feet. And then somehow the coping, you know, you move the ramps apart. But I mean, I'm not talking like, gosh, what is that called? When it's just coping between ramps,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not that. You know, you still got a deck and you still got some ramp, but it's an increasingly wide pivot grind to fakie.
Yeah, we need like a quarter pipe treadmill or something.
Yeah, it's technology that probably doesn't exist unless you know the government really has the like flying saucer shit. But it'd be sick.
Yeah, I feel like you could get a stair climber and can. Put it sideways and convert it somehow.
Yes, Merv Griffin Productions, please get on that.
This is just the tip of the iceberg. We got ideas all day, especially if you're paying.
Yeah, mostly skateboarding consultancy. We're on it.
We're here to serve. Well, one person who doesn't need any creative consulting from us is Paul Rodriguez. This week marks 10 years of his brand, Primitive. Started off with Paul, Nick Tucker, Carlos Ribeiro. Today, the team is massive. So is the brand, with collabs all over the place and appeal outside of skateboarding. Jason, where does Primitive fit in skateboarding today?
It's the elite board brand with the elite team, with the best skaters. I mean, they kind of encapsulate the kind of like be all you can be kind of spirit of Plan B, you know, just like being the best in kind of like a 2020s way, you know, and like my homeboy Seneca Garcia said, it's tech formalism. Like, there's a straight line from Shackle Me Not to Questionable to Mouse to Fully Flared. Like, we're going to do the hardest ledge tricks we possibly can, you know, do the longest rails, do the most technical tricks downstairs. And yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, in terms of Paul Rodriguez, like, trying to think of someone who's been more successful, both like as a skateboarder, as a business person. And I really couldn't. Maybe like Stacy Peralta, maybe Rick and Mike. But yeah, I know. I mean, people talk shit about like you know, Mountain Dew hat, praying to the hat, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to think of a skateboarder who's been as successful both in the business realm and as a skateboarder.
I mean, he's Birdman-esque for sure.
Yeah, Birdman.
Yeah, that's a good call. He kind of is like the modern street Tony Hawk. It's got that broad appeal, non-endemic sponsors, and still somehow is fully legit in skateboarding, which I think is a really tough thing to pull off.
Yeah, I feel like Primitive is more like girl used to be than girl is now, if that makes sense. Like, just like you were saying, Jason, hardest ledge tricks, excellence, kind of a clean aura. Yeah, I feel like a lot of in the skate Twitter bubble for sure, like Primitive gets hated on, and it's pretty wholly unwarranted. I mean, you know, you can gripe about this direct to consumer sales and stuff like that, but at the same time, like, they're progressing skateboarding, and that's a good thing.
Totally. I went back and read a 2014 interview with P-Rod on Jenkum, and the idea of Primitive started off with they're going to pay higher royalties. Like he said in the interview that he wanted the skaters to make more money off of their product than Primitive would, which I think is a pretty insane and altruistic way of thinking. And I wonder if that's still the case.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, along those lines, they do a lot of collaborations, which, you know, people talk shit about, like, I don't know, whatever, like anime or
Kikkoman.
Yeah, Kiko. Oh my God, wait. True story. So, like, one day, like, you know, my son comes home and, like, he got, like, the Primitive Kikkoman shirt, like, at the mall or something. I was like, do you know what Primitive is? He's like, no. I'm like, dude, you don't even skate. Like, what the hell?
Grown son, a poser?
Yes, yeah. He's, I guess, man.
No,
yeah,
he's a soy sauce lover.
Yeah, but, I mean, it goes to show, like, the brand is that big. Like, I've seen tons of Primitive, like, garments out in the wild, but I've never seen a Primitive board in the wild for whatever, you know, for whatever that's worth. But
it, like, is definitely, you know, one of those brands that I mostly like and enjoy, and I've never spent a penny on any of their stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's most brands for me. Like, I've never bought anything from Polar, but they're probably my favorite brand.
Full disclosure, when they did the Call of Duty collab, I went apeshit. I got, like, a jacket, I got, like, a hoodie, I got, like, a football jersey. Because it was, like, my two of my favorite things in the whole world, Call of Duty and, you know, skating. Like, tech formula skating, so.
It seems like the collabs are all kind of one-sided. Like, you know, Primitive does a Call of Duty thing, but correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but did P-Rod show up in Call of Duty or something? Or, like,
no, they did not have a P-Rod skin in Call of Duty.
You know, I would love for the collabs to be more collaborative.
Yeah, right.
I mean, maybe not to go full sidetrack, but maybe that's why the collab, like, the whole idea of the collab is so just, like, stupid in my brain a lot of the time, because it is just like, here's a Primitive board that has Call of Duty shit on it. Like, what is collaborative about that?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, but what is a collaboration anyway, like, these days?
I mean, somebody on Skate Twitter brings this up a lot and says, you know, it's not really a collaboration, it's a licensing deal.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
Like, actual collaborations could be very cool. I mean, they don't even need to make sense, but, you know, like a blending of products as opposed to just licensing.
Right. Like, how sick would it be if P-Rod was a playable character in Call of Duty? Or even if he wasn't playable, he was just like a character and you could just fucking
shoot him a bunch.
Yeah, NPC.
You know, P-Rod lands a switch tray and you just, like, blast him with a rocket launcher or something.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's true. Like, a real collaboration, I mean, you'll see it sometimes. Well, I mean, with dunks and whatnot, like, when they get an artist to design it, they actually, you know, it's actually different from all the other shit. You can tell it's, like, you know, they actually had input.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we want to see.
Anyway, Primitive, I was looking at the history of the team. Who was on Primitive and is no longer? Like, Shane O'Neill. It seems weird that he was on Primitive at one time.
I went to a Primitive demo when Shane O'Neill was still on there, and that was an incredible demonstration. Pretty sure Nick Tucker fakie flipped the skate park picnic table, but I digress.
Yeah, Nick Tucker, what happened to that guy?
Yeah, I mean, did he leave to go to Monarch Project? He left to do some other brand.
That's Monarch Project, sounds about right.
Which, that was always a stupid fucking idea.
Yeah. He was good, man. He had a good switch frontside 360 heel flip.
Man, he did a bunch of tricks over this table, which was, yeah.
Was it like a bump to table?
No, he was skating it off flat.
Dang.
Like, I don't think it was a fakie heel. I'm pretty sure it was a fakie flip, and he, like, nollie heeled it. He wasn't going that fast. It was just, like, incredible skill.
That's amazing. It seems like not that many people have left. I mean, they kind of, like, seem to have cut their Euros. They had, like, Marek Zaprosny and Chibi Chabet.
Yeah, I noticed that. At least on the website, I mean, they seems like they pared the team down a lot. Like, they have 11 pros, which seems like a lot. Like, a lot. And just 3 AMs. And if you look at their last video, they had, you know, a bunch of Euros that Patrick... I'm probably mispronouncing his last name. Patrick Zagreff. That guy's incredible. Marek Zaprosny, who's on player skateboards now. So hopefully they have, you know, like a Euro program that they just didn't put on the website. But that was a dope thing that they've been doing, like, giving those Euro people some shine.
Yeah, I'm looking at Wikipedia, And they list the former riders as Shane O'Neill, Devin Calloway, Nick Tucker, Bastian Salabanzi, Diego Najera, JB Jelly, Marek Zaprosny, and Brian Peacock. Which news to me that Brian Peacock is not on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Diego Najera quit to ride Monarch. He was definitely on Monarch.
That guy was so good. I was really psyched on that dude for a while there.
Do you think he fully played himself getting on Monarch?
Yeah. Was that a dwindle?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And it was like Sky Brown's. Is it Sky Brown? Sky Brown, I think, and Leticia Buffoni.
Yeah.
Like, were the figureheads.
It's like grand opening, grand closing.
Yeah.
So anyway, what do you guys think of their video output? It seems like they come out with a video every year, or at least, if not a video with a full team, some type of video production.
It's always good. I think someone noted that it's kind of not as memorable as it could be. That is also true. Shoot, I came across like a Carlos Vieira. There's some random post. I forgot who it was, but apparently he did a line at one point. So kickflip, front crook, frontside revert, and switchback lip, one of those zero handrails. And I'm like, holy shit, he did this? And it's like it came out 2 or 3 years ago. Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. The way content gets like produced and forgotten about is like, trips me out sometimes. Like, I was looking through their videos. Well, on one hand, the videos all kind of blend together. Like, they all have the same kind of like feel. I don't know how to describe it. And they all have the like one word titles like Define.
Right.
Never. Encore. But if you look back at them, it's like the shit they're doing is like fucking insane. Like, Carlos Ribeiro again did like a backside nollie heel flip to switch backside 5-0 on a handrail.
They're all the hard way, but
yeah, like like the Brian Winning trick, but with a nollie heel in it on a handrail. That's like inconceivable.
Yeah, I think it's really tough for a video to stand out these days, and I think it makes me think that you need a little something more for the mind to latch onto. You know, like Weekend has all these skits and that's something you can like hold in your mind and then remember the skate tricks. But if it's just a video with skate tricks and like it has like a slightly different graphic treatment than the previous video, it's like really hard for that to stand out in your mind.
And like another thing is there's no shelf. Like, it used to be like you had all your skate videos on the shelf or in like a big tower next to the TV or whatever. And so you kind of look and see, oh, there's like, you know, like three Plan B videos or whatever. And like, it's kind of hard to remember it if there's no physical presence.
I'll second you on the Weekend angle, just because, you know, thinking of, the good skit for that Tanner Brzezinski goes pro part. But then there's also just kind of like, you know, the brand ID in having the spit takes at his tricks, you know, at the end of the part, like that helps differentiate
that little, it. Yeah, there's that little extra creativity in the part.
A little whimsy.
Yeah, a little whimsy.
Yeah, I mean, the videos are dope. Like, they usually have good music, good editing, but
it's not to take away from it or anything. Yeah, like, get you some crazy hip hop that doesn't seem to show up in videos anymore.
Yeah, like, but unless like you're like a fan, like, you know, like I'm gonna watch, you know, Waze part today or whatever, we're gonna see, it's kind of hard to like curate. Even if you put them on a playlist or something, it's kind of hard to curate and look back and, you know what I mean, get into it.
Yeah, they disappear into the ether so easily. Well, something that wouldn't disappear into the ether is the gold board, which I feel like is such a rad icon for Primitive to just own. You know, like, would you guys ride a gold board?
And I kind of think it's too ostentatious. Plus, I think the gold foil would like throw me off or something. Like, it would slide weird. I mean, they skate them, so obviously, like, it might help your slide. Kind of.
Yeah,
like,
I do wonder about the sliding aspect.
It's probably might help. Might fuck it up. I don't know.
I would 100% ride one of those gold boards. I want a gold board. I think they're so fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely stood out, like, when they first came out, like, boom, we got gold boards. I think first it was just, like, that's all they had, like, a gold board.
Yeah, wasn't P-Rod, you know, doing the direct-to-consumer small runs? Isn't that kind of how it got going, or am I misremembering?
Yeah, he was like, over Plan B, and he, like, I read this in the Jenkem interview from 2014. He was, like, gonna leave Plan B, and he was in some contest not riding a Plan B board, and Colin McKay called him up and was like, hey, what's up, like, why aren't you riding the boards? And then he quit like right there over the phone, kind of before he had planned on quitting. And he was a free agent for a bit, and he was spray painting the boards gold. And somebody from a wood shop hit him up and was like, hey, check these out. And like, that's where the gold foil came from. And mm-hmm. they ran with it ever since.
It's got to be an expensive board.
Yeah, real probably. Gold.
Yeah. Adds a lot of weight, you know? Hard to trade flip the gold board.
Losing thousands of dollars at each spot accidentally.
Yeah. Like, you think I'm fucking up your ledges? I'm making these ledges better. More valuable.
It is a very well-curated team. I mean, I hadn't even thought of Wade being on there. He had the big spin flip front nose.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at the team real quick. I have this here.
The McClung on there is also very good
Trent
at skating.
Trent McClung is, I don't know, he's pretty underrated. Maybe it's because he's like, he doesn't really have an image. You know what I mean? Like a marketable image. He just kind of skates super good and clean. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's tied to his brothers. You know, like, it's hard to be Trent when you're one of the McClungs.
Yeah. So, yeah, in that 10th anniversary video, he does, like, switch big spin, backside, tail slide, switch heel flip out to regular, which is crazy. That's what we're talking about by, like, tech formalism, just, like, doing the hardest ledge tricks you can, the best you can.
When the X Games were in town, I caught him and some other dudes skating the Familia Park, like, the Monday after or whatever, and holy cow. Tech formalism, extremely consistent and just in, like, utter control.
I can't imagine what that must feel like.
It'd
must
be an nice. Experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was him, Miles Silvas, Jamie Foy, Ishad. It was just kind of gnarly. it was really incredible. Those dudes are all very good.
What brand was that under the auspices of?
That was X Games had been in town. Oh, and so the dudes were just hadn't flown home. Okay. Yeah, they had it at the U.S. Bank Viking Stadium. And then the pandemic hit and the I think it was a 4-year deal. Pandemic hit after two of them. And yeah, they've never come back. So that would have been, summer 2019.
Yeah, the current team is Pierre Thiago, Miles Silvas, current skater of the year, Carlos Ribeiro, Wade, Spencer Hamilton, Frankie. Did you say his name Vianney or Villani?
Giovanni Viana?
No, I mean Frankie Villani.
Frankie Villani.
I would say Villani, but that's a good point. Yeah.
Trent McClung, we were just talking about, Robert Neal, Trey Williams, and then Giovanni Viana, and then just the three AMs, Dylan Jab, Felipe Moda, and Kunosuke Yamashita. So
excellent pronunciation on the fuck on
the last guy. Dylan Jab's part recently was like fucking insane. Like, you think he said Wallenberg. Yeah, and Felipe Moda was just like on the cover of Thracker, so like the dudes they have are like, you know, in their prime, killing it.
Yeah, the elite of the elite. I mean,
best team in skating. Yeah, even if that doesn't, like, people try not to care.
They're definitely not the coolest, you know.
A lot of cool dudes on there, though.
Yeah, they're cool as shit. But
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, there's teams that are quote unquote cooler, but yeah, definitely the best.
Well, I think, you know, Primitive is in an enviable position after 10 years in the business. I think it's really remarkable. Not too surprising given P-Rod's place in the world in 2014, you know, like, I think it makes a lot of sense that he would be the one guiding skateboarding's most elite brand 10 years later, but it's still quite an achievement.
When there's Heath, I'm blanking on his last name, but
Brinkley?
Heath Brinkley, you know, that's a pretty good business mind in skating, I feel like.
Totally.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. I mean, very consistent for 10 years with Primitive. 20 years is kind of the challenge amount of time, you know, assuming they make it that far. They've been very consistent in what they do up until now, so that, you know, making it 2 decades challenge seems feasible for them.
Yeah, I think very feasible. I think that they've done a really good job of finding new talent and guiding them upwards. You know, I think that's always been kind of a tough thing for Girl in Chocolate to, you know, kind of like churn people through the system, you know, and not let people stick around longer than they need to and bring people up when they need to be brought up.
There's also the kind of just like not necessarily changing with the times, but keeping the brand identity, you know, the same without chasing trends.
Right.
I mean, Trunk Boys come to mind. That sigh was real, Templeton.
It was real. What else can we say about Primitive?
Stoked they're around, man.
Stoked they've made it 10 years. I'll be stoked if they make it another 10 years. Which brings us to the end of our show, where we talk about what we're stoked on. Jason, it's been a while. What are you stoked on this week?
Stoked on Venture Trucks, specifically the new Venture Loose Trucks. So all you Ventures Don't Turn people, you have no excuse, basically, to ride anything other than Venture at this point. Also stoked on the new Rats video out of Italy, or the crew is out of Italy, I guess. Vince Palmer kicks ass. Like, he's kind of leveled up a bit, even from the high level he was at before. First dude, Nico something, also kicks ass, so definitely stoked on that. Very stoked on an Instagram account called Found That Footy. I don't know who runs it. It might be Dave Schlossbach, but it's basically a bunch of unseen footage from like the early 90s, from like Plan B world, all that kind of stuff. So if you're from that era, it's insane. Like, you have to watch it. They have an Instagram plus like the full transfer case or whatever on YouTube. Also, I stoked on a recent trip to New York that I went on. Got to skate this one ledge spot in Queens. That was pretty dope. Met Spencer from Village Psychic. Shout out him. And had a good time, even though it rained most of the time. So that was pretty dope. Mike, what are you stoked on this week?
I'm stoked on this week actually finding out an answer to a little local mystery, skate mystery. So back on a show that we did in March 2021, I mentioned the infamous Ty Dickey rail here on the University of Minnesota campus. And at some point, it's like a flat bar, four stairs, but there used to be a handrail for the four stair that made the rail a little tougher to skate. At some point, someone went and cut that handrail out, and I never knew who had done it. We always thought it was rollerbladers or, you know, just random people. But this week, the homie Andy Conrad was apparently listening to that March 2021 show, hits me up on IG and says, yeah, it was a group of dudes from St. Cloud, Minnesota, like 90 minutes from the Twin Cities, who one night in the middle of the night just took a saw, made a bunch of noise, and cut the handrail out. So I'm stoked to know an answer to that, and the podcast made it happen. Speaking of the podcast, this podcast, I did some rudimentary internet research, and it appears that this week would be the fifth anniversary of the new format show, you know, with the panel, as opposed to Templeton's original run with short interviews. So happy 5 years, you guys.
Yes, sir. Shout out us.
Shout out us.
Templeton, what are you stoked on this week?
Stoked on 5 years of the podcast. Like, thank you guys so much, you know, like, and Patrick too. It's been amazing that we have kept it going this long, and it's always been fun, and it's cool that we've got to meet a bunch of cool and interesting people and share their stories. Hopefully we can keep it going for just as long. What else I'm stoked on is a new part from my favorite Sicilian skateboarder, Mauro Caruso. The part's called Sebi. It's on Free. And that part made me go back and watch one of my favorite internet skate videos ever. It's called Modica, and it's Mauro skating through the, I think it's a Sicilian village called Modica. And it's just like really beautiful, like, you know, kind of super old Italian alleyways and stuff, and he's just skating through, and it's really well shot and everything. So, you know, stoked on the new part, stoked on the old part, stoked on Mauro Caruso in general. He's a great skater, maybe underappreciated, but check him out. And that's it for our show this week. Be sure to check out mostlyskateboarding.net for links to the things that we talked about and other show notes. Until next time, you can keep up with us all week online. Mike, where can the people find you?
Yeah, my handle on social media, if I'm on it, is @mmunzenrider. Jason, where can the people find you?
On Twitter, @carbonite1994. On Instagram, @frozencarbonite. And writing stuff for quartersnacks.com. Templeton, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter @mostlyskate and on Instagram @mostlyskateboarding. We will see you guys next week.
There.
Thank you.